Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
Hey, Dan Sheridan here. Pleasure spending time with you once again. Here we are learning some history together. Thanks for your company. And in this audio, we are going to go back in time to February 2nd, 1848. And the reason why I'm doing it is because I'm recording this on February 2nd, 2016. So it's a kind of this day in history lesson. And we're going to expand on an event that happened that we're usually given bullet points over in about in our history books. And it's about the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. That's right. How America acquired California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, and Texas. So this is a huge deal. And look at the size of those states and how much territory that is. So this is a huge deal in American history. So the question is, how did we get all that land? Well, here's the bullet points you get from most history books. There was a war between the United States and Mexico. It ended with the signing of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. And in exchange for $15 million, the U.S. acquired all those territories. To all that land we just talked about that make up all the states that we enjoy today. And the treaty was ratified on March 10th, 1848. Now, that's the surface bullet points of the facts. However, there is much more to the story than the mere result in facts, and we need to dig deep to find it, because this is a very important lesson for us today. So let's go back in time and talk a little bit about it. First of all, James K. Polk, he was the prez at the time. Polk was a devout Presbyterian. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't chew, and he didn't go with women to do, and he looked down on anyone who did those kind of things. I even hear that people who played cards met with his disapproval. That's how serious he was and how his religion instructed him. Sam Houston said that the problem with Polk was that he drank too much water. I could see him saying that while downing a shot of whiskey. Well, having said all that about Polk, being as religious as he was and as moral as he was, Polk didn't frown upon using any opportunity he could to go to war in order to expand the country. In other words, his morals kept him off the booze, but they couldn't keep him off the battlefield. Get my drift? So here's James K. Polk. He wanted, first of all, to grab the Oregon Territory, and the motto was 5440 or fight. And that's how America got the Oregon Territory. We won't go into details of the Oregon Territory now. We'll deal with that when we get to that portion in our America story lessons. So you see, Polk believed in something called manifest destiny. You might say, what in the world is manifest destiny? Now, before I mentioned his religious zeal. So religious zeal and manifest destiny go hand in hand. Manifest destiny was the belief that God ordained that the United States should expand all the way to the Pacific Ocean. In other words, it was a religious belief that claims that they actually hear God speaking to them. After all, how would one know that God had ordained that America was supposed to extend to the Pacific Ocean? Well, you'd have to pretend that God spoke audibly to you or, you know, make something up. So it had a little bit of a weirdness to its religion. Now, let me just stop here before we go further, and let me say something very important. If you're expecting me to bash Christianity, I'm not. I'm only going to bash a corrupt practice of it. I myself am a believer. I believe in God, and I believe Scripture. And so I'm not here to bash Christianity, just a corrupt practice of it. And second, if you're expecting me to bash America, I'm not going to do that either. I'm only going to acknowledge a bad thing that happened in American history, acknowledge it with the hope that we would acknowledge something and learn from it. And third, if you're expecting me to say America, right or wrong, like some people do, well, you've come to the wrong place. I don't do that either. A true patriot looks honestly at his country and acknowledges the good, recognizes the bad, and does his best to promote the virtue of his country. So that's the my take on these things. This is my perspective. This is my motivation. All right, now back to Polk and Manifest Destiny. Now, this religious faith helped contribute to the Mexican War. And you might think that sounds strange, but it's true. And here's how it played out. There was a boundary dispute between Mexico and Texas around the Rio Grande, and Southerners took the side of the Texans. After all, many slaveholders were settling in Texas, and the Southerners wanted that territory as big as possible. One, it gave them more votes in Congress, and they didn't want Congress to abolish slavery, so they needed more people in Congress. And it also, it was part of their struggle to extend the evil institution, the wicked institution of slavery all the way to the Pacific. And I've studied history for years, and I don't care what the argument is, they wanted to extend slavery to the Pacific. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to extend an illegal practice by all laws, laws of nature, laws of God, and just plain old common sense. They wanted to keep it going. And a lot of these people justified it by religion, just like Polk was justifying Manifest Destiny. So this is a part of the religion that is bad. So anyway, this is what they were trying to do. So Southern leaders were ready to declare war if Mexico stepped one foot on the disputed territory, while Northern statesmen said that that kind of bloody land grabbing would be unjust as well as just downright unneighborly. Well, Polk took the Southern view. And then he took steps to provoke Mexico. So here's what he did. He sent General Zachary Taylor, the guy who would later become president, into the disputed area to hold the Rio Grande Valley. And the Mexicans saw it and they said, "Hey, get off our property, bud." And they sent soldiers across the river to make their message loud and clear. And there was a skirmish. So Polk now got what he wanted. Now Polk can go to Congress and claim that Mexico invaded America, and I'm saying invaded by with the quotation marks with my fingers, that Mexico invaded America. Well, Congress agreed, saying that Mexico started a war, and here's what they said: notwithstanding all our efforts to avoid it. Now note that language. Note it very carefully. They pretended like they went through great measures to avoid the war. Think about it. So Congress at once sent 50,000 troops to the area. Now, there were those who opposed this action. There were some smart people who opposed it. One Whig representative from Illinois stood out. You might have heard of him. He's a guy named, Abraham Lincoln. Ever heard of him? Well, in opposition to Polk, Lincoln proposed what were called spot resolutions. And they called upon President Polk to provide Congress with the exact location, the exact spot on which American blood was spilt. Basically, Lincoln was challenging Polk. He wanted Polk to prove that his call for war was just. Lincoln was insistent, and he kept pushing the spot resolution so much that the people started calling him Spotty Lincoln. A little humor there. Well, the first resolution of Lincoln's asked whether the spot on which the blood of our citizens was shed, as in his, that is Polk's message declared, was or was not within the territory of Spain, at least after the Treaty of 1819 until the Mexican Revolution. And the second resolution said, asked whether that spot is or is not within the territory which was wrested from Spain by the revolutionary government of Mexico. And then the other resolutions delved into the question as to whether the territory the fighting occurred was ever under the government or laws of Texas or the United States. In other words, this was not our business. It wasn't our area. We have no business here. And so, and that's basically what Lincoln was doing. Manifest Destiny and religious zeal overlooked justness of the issue. And Lincoln's resolutions were ignored by the House. And here's the kicker. You ready for this one? Democrats said Lincoln's resolutions were, you ready for it? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You've heard this song before. You ready for it? You know what they said about Lincoln's resolutions? You'll never guess. Come on, you know. They were unpatriotic. Ah, but of course, heresy, heresy, I say. I never knew there was gambling in this establishment. Heresy. That's what they were doing. They were calling him unpatriotic, and that is the same old song. If you stand against something that your government is doing and your people are doing, you're automatically labeled as a heretic or unpatriotic. Well, the truth was that Lincoln wasn't being unpatriotic. I think he was the one thinking soundly, because I think he was promoting the virtue of his country there. Now, remember, Lincoln wasn't a pacifist by any means, but Lincoln was merely questioning Polk's action in this rush to war. He was questioning Polk's actions, and we should question his actions. As a matter of fact, to prove that Lincoln was no pacifist, later on, he supported Zachary Taylor for president, the guy who conducted the Mexican War. So the issue was the justness of this situation. So Polk's view of Manifest Destiny, together with the interest of Southern slavery, conspired to make war. Polk had said that soldiers fell on American soil when in fact they had actually fallen on disputed territory. General Grant, you've heard of Grant. General Grant wrote in his personal memoirs about the Mexican War, calling it a war of conquest. You hear that? He called it a war of conquest against a weaker power. I agree. This is a lesson that needs to be taken seriously. The Americans at the time celebrated the victory. They were patriotic. They celebrated the victory while overlooking the dubious nature of the war itself. After all, they got more territory. Well, this is the lesson of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, and I hope we take it to heart and promote the virtue of our country and never allow people to call you unpatriotic for standing for justice and honesty and true love for others. Woo-wee. I'm done and I am exhausted. This is Dan Sheridan. It's been a pleasure spending these few minutes with you. I hope you learned something. And keep going back to SheridanHistory.com to our America Story series, where we're going through American history from the founding era all the way to the present. Hope you're enjoying those audios. Well, I got to run now. Remember this, be good to one another today because we're in this together. We'll talk to you again next time.